Guys, welcome to the Infinite Snap podcast. Today we have our first special guest with us, Rog Tronic. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. How are you guys?
That's good. Thank you for joining us. I know it's the morning for you. It's evening here in Australia. So thanks for joining us. Really excited to have our first guest, I guess. Justin, you were technically our first guest, but you're here enough now that Rog is our first guest and international guest at that, which is fantastic. So guys, we've got a bunch to get through today. As we all know, it was the new season just launched, which is like pretty exciting stuff. We have Black Panther is the brand new Marvel Snap card, so we're going to get into that. We're going to look at some decks that you can start using right away. But yeah, like absolutely tons is happening. You know, this is, I guess, the second season for new players that have come after global launch. So I guess to them it would be season two, which I've seen written a few times. So that's super exciting. We're going to discuss some about the snapper mechanic of the game. Lots of new players. We're seeing tons of feedback about the game that we've kind of all, us beta players have kind of already seen all this feedback from the start. So I guess we've got a little bit of knowledge about it. So we'll get into that. We'll discuss, you know, both sides of the snap mechanic. We had a few patch notes that came earlier in the week. Just some small things, but there is one very important thing that was added. So we're going to discuss that. And I had a message in our Discord, the Shadow DTV Discord, the home of Infinite Snap, where we are. Someone mentioned about the collection level and the progression and how we unlock cards, which we've spoken about a ton on the podcast, but they had something really interesting that I guess we've kind of spoken about, but we're going to get to that as well. And if any of you guys in the chat have questions, we'll do them as well. And then, of course, we're going to be playing what is an episode of Infinite Snap without the of Snap Who, everybody's favorite Marvel Snap quiz game. Seeing as we've got our first guest, Rog is going to be guessing a Marvel Snap card. I believe he has no idea what the rules are, so we'll leave a bit of suspense and we'll let him figure it out at the end when we explain the rules. Guys, we're going to roll that intro and we'll get straight into today's episode. Let's do it. The freezing is like full, just thrown me off here. All right, I'm just going to try something just because I'm actually going to lose, I actually lose my access to the chat. So Justin, will you be able to work off YouTube chat today? Like if anyone says any comments that you think need to be said?
Yeah, that's fine.
Just because, I'm having technical difficulties on my side. So you can monitor that for me. So guys, what's been happening? Rog, what have you been up to? How's life been? Good?
Life's been good. It's been busy, as we've talked about in our video. We did a little collaboration there a week ago. Thank you for being there.
And yes.
I wish you were a better player, to be honest.
I know. But. Yes. So that. So why don't you tell us that video dropped today? I believe.
Today for you.
Yes. So guys, you can go and check that out on Rog Tronic's YouTube channel. We did explain what we did.
Yeah, we did like a 1v1 cube rush. I've been doing it with a lot of content creators, and you were very kind and very generous. Give me some of your time and get up at the crack of dawn because I didn't want to keep my wife awake, and I appreciate you. You've also got a little girl, I believe. So,
yep.
You know, it's so funny doing a lot of collaborations with a lot of content creators. There's a lot of young dads out there basically trying to grind out Snap content while also trying to be a good husband, be a good dad, and hold down a job. It's been a roller coaster. A lot of people out there, as TLSG told me, a lot of people out there burning the candle at both ends. I don't know if you've heard that phrase before.
Yes. It's interesting. It's like I always, like growing up, I was like, yeah, content creation, like you just do it, like, and that's it. That's all you do for your life. Like you go to school and you do content. And then as you get older, you realize like, oh wow, there's so much other things you do in your life. but yes, it is. It's still fun all the same. So yes, that was a fun video to make. It was a ton of fun. We won't spoil the ending. So go and check that out. Justin, what have you been up to?
Not much. Playing a bit of Marvel Snap. Good to have Rog on. I'll have to actually check out that video. That sounds good.
Yeah, it was good fun. Guys, so obviously Black Panther is the new Marvel Snap card. There was a lot of speculation before it was leaked that was going to be the theme. I remember when the She-Hulk TV series came out, everyone was like, yeah, She-Hulk is the next card, and we were all wrong. So I guess this time they are going on theme with the latest Marvel MCU content. So that was it's a bit of an interesting change. I'm sure it generates a lot of hype for people. You know, they go and watch the movie, and then they come home and go, oh, I'll check out this Marvel Snap game. So a bit of good marketing there, second dinner. Justin, have you played with Black Panther yet?
I've played with Black Panther maybe the past half an hour just before the video.
Good preparation.
Definitely. I guess I didn't look into him that much, and I didn't check out like some synergies with him. But
yep.
He is better than I thought he was going to be. I think like just because of the on reveal ability, he can slot straight into an on reveal deck.
Interesting.
So he's pretty good actually.
Yeah, I've had a little bit of play around. I pretty much played, yeah, like an on-reveal deck. It kind of makes sense, yeah. And we'll go through some deck lists and kind of how the card works. Rog, have you been able to play with Black Panther yet?
Very similar. We were talking before the call, you know, Black Panther dropped when you guys were at work and when I was asleep. So yeah. I woke up to, like, here's all the decks you should try with Black Panther. I put him into a destroy deck with Venom and then tried to, like, Arnim Zola him around a little bit. Now, I lost, like, 4 games in a row, but, you know, I still had fun.
That's the important thing. Yeah, I kind of tanked my rank a little bit messing around, but that's got all season to resolve that.
Absolutely.
Black Panther... Rog, before we do get into all that, like, we've got so much to talk about. Before we get into it, do you want to just let everyone know, I guess, your gaming background and then, I guess, your card game background as well?
Sure. Yeah, I've been playing, like a lot of people, playing computer games since I could, like, hold a controller. I've been making content for about 6 or 7 years now, believe it or not, and only recently kind of honed in on Marvel Snap. I was making content around a game called The Witcher Monster Slayer, which was a very promising sort of Pokemon Go crossed with The Witcher universe. You know, you go out hunting monsters, and things were going really well for that. But
that's cool.
Unfortunately, the game like died a death, and there was nothing more I could do about it.
Yep.
Other than that, then. Just been like focusing the last 4 or 5 months on Marvel Snap, really enjoying the community, enjoying making decks, playing games, streaming. I think it's like that perfect counterpoint between, you know, simple but not simplistic, very pick up and play, mobile first, Marvel IP. I think it's like all these, you know, Venn diagrams intersecting for this perfect gamer experience where you have people who've never played a game. I have a good friend, Petzo from the Allcast Irish Gamers, another Irish content creator here, never played a card game really in his life.
Yep.
And he's like, you know, he's like the perfect game to play on the toilet. The only thing he said was, he's a massive DC fan. So he's like, the only thing was he's upset that it's not a DC game and it's a Marvel game.
That's interesting, actually. I mean, I feel like, DC... The DC IP probably, I think the Marvel IP just appeals to so many people now. Like, I know so many people that know what the MCU is, but then you go DC and they go, oh, is that also comics? So it's like, it's definitely probably one of the bigger, or it's probably one of the biggest IPs in the world, bar maybe Pokemon and Hello Kitty. But so that's really cool. It's cool that you've been gaming so long. I love chatting with gamers like about, you know, the first game they played and things like that. It's so interesting hearing how many different experiences people have had with video games. What was your first video game you reckon you ever played?
Oh, that's a great question. I actually wasn't allowed. I wasn't allowed to play gaming. I wasn't allowed to game as a small child. My dad was very much like get the hell outside, run around, chase that ball or whatever. My first console that I could purchase was like when I was 17 or 18, which was an N64.
Cool.
And I think I absolutely scammed a guy from school. He basically gave me an N64 with like 5, get like Zelda and GoldenEye,
all
those classics for like £50 at the time or something.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
that's cool.
Absolutely scammed him out of that console, but enjoyed the hell out of it. Early gaming memories was like going to friends' houses and being too afraid to watch them play like Resident Evil on the PS1.
That's great.
You know, things like that. And then just, you know, just your standards. SNES, you know, playing. What was the one that was it? Top Gun, the one where you could never land the plane.
Roger's really showing his age here.
This is before my time.
My first console was a PS1.
You know, in the before times, in ye olden days, we used to sit around and wind up the console, put in the coal. You know, somebody be shoving the coal into the back of it.
But yes,
so yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, I PS1 was like kind of like I actually was allowed to game as a kid, but I feel like the generation I grew up in, we kind of played outside anyway. Like we kind of got bored pretty quickly on like games anyway. But yeah, I can definitely see it's probably a good thing that you didn't pick them up till you're older, to be honest. Cool. So guys, if you want to check out any great Marvel Snap content, you can go check out Rogertronic's YouTube channel. Tons of content coming out on that. Tons of streaming, which is cool to see. I have not had any time to do that sort of thing. So it's great to see you smashing it out. So guys, definitely go and check that out. And then pretty much on most socials, Rog will plug everything later. Guys, so yep, been playing Snap. That's great. Before we do that, let's get into the featured locations for the week. So the first one we had at the featured location was Machine World. So that was, Justin, do you want to tell us what Machine World did? And that was for 48 hours. That was the featured location, appeared 40% of the time. Justin?
Yeah, Machine World was when you play a card here, add a copy to the opponent's hand. So I don't know. It wasn't, I didn't really build any decks around it. It was kind of like, yeah, okay, cool, whatever. The only thing I kind of did maybe was play like a kazoo deck to, you know, play a bunch of one drops there and kind of fill their hand so they couldn't draw any more cards. But then I guess they just play them the next turn anyway. So
yeah,
I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think what you said is actually correct. So I kind of thought like there's no point to this location. Like it's giving them a bit of information, but they're already getting the card like on the field on the like. So why? But then that started happening to me and my hand kept getting filled and I was only playing one card each turn and they were playing like three and I'm like, oh, hang on, my hand's full. What do I do? And they just kept adding cards. Yeah, and it got, especially if you're playing a deck that adds cards to your hand, it was pretty awful location for those kind of decks. But yeah, Rog, what was your thoughts on Machine World?
I didn't really. I was actually kind of grinding my free-to-play account, yes. So it was basically like a Devil Dino focus. It didn't really impact the meta a huge amount anyway. I'm sort of middle of pool two at the moment, so Devil Dino is pretty heavy in the meta anyway. I didn't really see any tech around it.
Yeah,
to be honest with you, I think it was one of the lowest impact locations we've had probably ever.
Yeah, agreed.
I don't think that's a terrible thing every now and then. Like people, like sometimes, you know, if we've just got you can only play this one deck or counter that deck, even that every single week, I can see how it can, you know, put a lot of strain on people. If they're making content, especially they got to play the same deck for 2 days. It can be a bit draining, I guess. So it was a bit of a nice change that, we could still build, you know, it wasn't too restrictive of a location. So I quite enjoyed it. I didn't play it a ton, but I felt it kept deck building kind of fairly wide open. But yeah, so that was the featured location. I didn't even really see a lot of deck building around it in terms of like people posting on Twitter and stuff. Like it wasn't, no one was like, usually it's like new location, here's the deck that you play. And like within, you know, 4 hours, everyone's figured it out and everyone's playing, you know, the deck or countering that deck.
Yeah, I did enjoy it though. It required a bit of thinking, you know, like should I play this card here because then my opponent's going to get it in their hand, and then how can they play my own card against me, kind of thing. So it was. I do enjoy it as a location. It'd be good to see it pop up every now and then.
I think on that actually, I saw people playing. I guess Patriot was a good choice because if you gave them cards without abilities, it didn't really help your opponent. Like you give them a Misty Knight, they go, well, what do I do with this? Whereas you're getting all those buffs as long as you don't play Patriot there. So that was, I saw a few people playing that, but yeah, I guess it wasn't like, you know, no, like you must play this deck sort of location. So I thought it was nice. Cool. And then we had the hot location on Sunday, which was Cloning Vats. Now this one is a little bit more impactful, I would say. Did you guys experience Cloning Vats much on Sunday? Rog?
Sorry, I actually didn't get to play. It was my son's birthday party on Sunday, so I actually played like absolutely virtually no Snap on Sunday. So I didn't. To be honest with you, I posted this on Twitter and had arguments with people before about this. I actually don't really like the featured locations part of this game. I think, like we talked about earlier on, it's either somebody refines down the most perfect deck for it, and then everyone's playing that deck, or somebody finds the most counter to that deck. So there's literally two decks in the meta for like a 24-hour period, and you can't play you know, if you wanted to play Deathwave that day, or you wanted to play Patriot, or you wanted to make something else, you basically just say, well, I can't play any decks that I want to play. I have to play the decks that everyone's playing to play that for that 24 hours. Now, that doesn't happen everywhere. Like we said earlier in the week, the machine world didn't kind of have that impact. But I definitely felt like cloning vats and a lot of these other decks, yeah, other featured locations, have just boiled the meta down into two decks, and that's it. So I'm not a massive fan.
Yeah.
I didn't. So, yeah. Justin, did you get to play?
Yeah, just on that, like, I guess because I'm not, I mean, I am on the podcast, but I wouldn't consider myself like a content creator. I kind of just tag along with Richie. But because I'm not constantly trying to create videos, and I probably do consider myself, like, I probably do play this game pretty heavily. Like, I jump on every day for at least, I'd say at least like half an hour or whatever, at a minimum. So the featured locations, the whole locations, it doesn't really faze me just because I'm playing enough where I see the locations, I use the decks, I've got, you know, three more cards to unlock from pool three. So whichever deck really that I'm required to play, I'll just play it to win. Yeah, but I do see the downside for, like, definitely content creators, and also definitely people that play, like, really casually. It is a massive downside to the game for them.
Yeah, we've discussed this before on the podcast, and I think I was kind of on the side of it's only for a day or two, but then now that I've realized, like, I kind of changed my tone a few weeks later when I think we had the peak. I think that was the featured location, and that was pretty awful. Because Triskelion, everyone was really upset. Like, it fills your hand with all these cards. It's annoying. And I'm like, yes, it's annoying. But then the peak came and it was like, Mr. Negative, that's what you play. And then I kind of changed my tone a little bit. And so I started thinking about it. If I play the game twice a week, let's say I'm super busy, I get to play for a couple of hours. You know, I have Wednesdays off and I have Sundays off. And every time I play the game, I have these featured and hot locations. I'm like, that would be so frustrating. Like, you'd never really just get to experience the game in its normal state. And I think, I guess that whole thing of two decks in the meta for like two full days. I mean, if that was a competitive event and there was only two playable decks, I mean, it would be a pretty awful event. So I guess when you think of it like that, it is very restrictive. I think hopefully down the line, they split it and they have, like, you know, a mode where they have the hot and featured location and maybe a mode that doesn't change. I think they might look at that if they get enough complaints. And I mean, I've seen plenty. But I think the game's in its infancy. I think right now it's, you know, it's a learning thing. I think it's fine as it is right now. But I'm sure they, you know, they're taking on feedback and things like that. So we'll have to see what happens with that. Cloning.
Like, they could definitely do that in like an unranked mode or something, like a featured location, hot location, gives people like a good avenue to try out the new locations and whatever, where it doesn't really affect their rank.
So I compare it to something like, and I think we used this comparison before on the podcast, Valorant. Yes, it's a FPS, it's a completely different type of game, but whenever they release a new map, I guess if you could compare that to a new location, it goes into a like unranked playlist for like a week or two, so you can play that map over and over, like our featured location, learn it, learn what decks work with it, learn what, you know, learn the location, and then it gets put into the ranked pool of locations. I think something like that would allow content creators, if they want to make a video about that location, they can play it as a featured location for a week, but then if you get sick of it, you can go back into your ranked gameplay and go back to what you're used to. I think something like that is maybe a solution. Yeah,
or a couple of hours. I don't know if 2 days is necessary.
I think we spoke about that as well. Someone in chat said like 12 hours maybe, and I said, but if the time zones don't work out,
for
instance, Australia, we would just completely miss out on it. We would literally never see them because we would be asleep every time. I like that idea, like not like, you know, a full day or two full days, but then with time zones, it just makes it like logistic wise really difficult. Time will tell. We'll see what happens with that. So cloning vats, I didn't play a ton on the Sunday, but cloning vats is copies a card to your hand. So you play a card there, it copies it to your hand. Am I correct in saying that? Yes. And so I guess like what was the deck people were playing? I'm like trying to even think. Like Justin, do you even know what the meta deck was?
I was probably playing like a destroy deck with Venom because
because it adds to your hand. That's right.
Then,
yes.
Yeah, and then copy. Yeah, obviously copies back into your hand with
and then Arnim Zola. It's funny you say
then
that.
And Arnim Zola.
That's exactly. Now that I think about it, that's exactly what I played. So I guess again, it really funnels the type of decks that you can play. You want to play decks that, you know, buff themselves and then go back to your hand. Venom can get to ridiculous numbers with cloning vats. I guess that kind of proves our point a little bit there. Other than that, what decks have you guys been playing? I've been playing like a hella discard deck just because I'd hit infinite. So I was just like trolling, seeing if it works. It still sucks. Rog, what have you been playing? What's been your main deck, I guess, this week?
Well, I've been, again, like, you know, it's always coming from a content creator perspective. You know, you got to be playing lots of different ones, you know, if you want to make some videos.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I've had the benefit of, I hit infinite on my sort of main account about 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
And then I spent basically the next 2 weeks playing on my free-to-play accounts, unlocking new cards, and then just trying to build stuff around, like Namor, for example. Or,
yeah, cool.
You know, then I unlocked Devil Dino and making the best deck I could make from a Pool 2 variant. And, you know, just playing around with those new cards, having that new player experience all over again was kind of cool. You know, seeing what you know, make and do with what you've got. Then you'd unlock Killmonger, and you'd be like, absolutely brilliant. I'm going to absolutely demolish all these Khazar players out here.
Yeah.
I'm still hard locked at rank 55 there, but you know, it's fun to not care. It's fun to maybe like hit infinite and then not care. I think I've missed that for the last couple of months where I've never been infinite. So every game matters. You have to play basically the best deck you can play. We have talked about an unranked mode in the past. We don't talk about, but then unranked means the snap mechanic no longer works because the cubes no longer matter. So it's basically a different game then, and we'll get into that cube thing later. But
yes.
Playing lots of free to play stuff, building whatever I can with the deck with the cards that I've got.
That's great. Yeah, no, it's I've kind of seen it's been interesting because I've stayed on my main account. I thought maybe go like start a free to play account because I guess I'd be at the same level as everyone new to the game. But I ended up foregoing that idea. Basically playing pool one decks against pool three decks, and to be honest, it's actually not as bad as I thought it would be. Some of the pool 1-2 decks are actually like pretty good. I guess they're not as consistent, but you can still definitely churn out wins. Definitely the one thing I've seen a ton is pool one, this game's easy, and then Killmonger, they get into those decks and they're just like, wow, my Khazar deck loses all the time to this stupid card. And it's kind of funny. Like they kind of they teach you like, hey, play this cool Khazar deck, it's really good, and then it's like, hey, this is how you counter it. So it's a bit that dynamic is kind of really cool to see again, because I mean we haven't really experienced that for several months now. Yeah, that's been pretty cool to see. Justin, what have you been playing? Destroy deck?
I unlocked a Destroyer.
Yes.
So I've been playing like a Destroyer deck. It's so good. It's just something different, something fresh. Like Destroyer is such a build around card that if you don't have him, you can't build a deck like a Destroyer deck. So it just kind of, you know, got like a new breath of fresh air into the game for me. Probably the past few days, just been smashing that out. It's been good.
That's cool. Go, Rog.
Is that with the goblins? Do you put the goblins in it, or like two or three different variants on a Destroyer deck?
I think I play Green Goblin. I don't play Hobgoblin. My five drops Professor X, and then I've got Warpath in there as well.
Yeah.
And you know, the Hood and a few of those other ones.
I played a variant where it's like it's an ongoing deck, but you also have Destroyer in there as well. So like you can finish on Spectrum or you can finish on Destroyer, and I think that kind of takes people by surprise when you're like, oh, I thought I was playing against ongoing, or I thought I was playing against Destroyer, and you do the switcheroo. I've had
that deck. I did see a deck list like that, and I just looked at it and I was like, what is this? Like I just unlocked Destroyer. I want to play a solid Destroyer deck, but I might give that a go. It sounds fun. Yeah.
It's on my channel. Video on my channel, everybody.
There you go. Shameless
plug. Will you insert the thing here when this is after?
always shameless plug for sure. Destroyer. I unlocked Destroyer like in the last, I guess, month or so. And so like, the two-lane Destroyer decks, it's kind of predictable, but it still wins. So I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's just nice to play different cards. You wouldn't have many cards left to unlock now, would you? Justin,
I got three cards.
Oh,
I've got
so good.
Gambit, Mysterio, and Gambit, Mysterio, and Ghost Rider.
Yeah, you're not missing out on too much. That's pretty. That's pretty good.
Oh, I've been so keen to try out like a Ghost Rider holodeck or or chuck Gambit into my discard deck. You know what I mean? I feel like I'm missing out. When I unlock them, I probably won't use them that much. But we'll see.
You'll play the deck maybe 3 times, realize it's actually not as good as you want it to be, and your destroyer list.
Yeah,
I had the same feeling around Gambit, where I was like, "Oh, I want to play Gambit onto Wong with Mystique, and Mystique, I want to just machine gun their entire board." You pull that off like 1 in 10 games, and you lose the rest, and you're just like, "Yeah, this was fine for like 30 minutes."
Yeah, and that's you're exactly right. It's like these like super combos, and then it's like, "Yeah, cool, I do it once every 20 games." So that's cool. So a bit variety of decks, which is good. I actually just want to touch, before we get into the new season, I want to touch on what you said earlier about, I guess like it being a casual game and like, you know, it's got enough strategy to keep people, you know, playing the game. When I initially played it, I kind of went on the side of this game doesn't take a lot of skill. Like there's not really much going on. Mind you, I was in pool 1 and pool 2, and as things started ramping up, it really clicked into gear and I went, wow, there is tons of strategy in this game. And even now, every day I'll play it and something will happen and I'll be like, wow, that's actually like, I'd never thought of doing that. Even like when we have these new locations, someone will come up with like a crazy combo and I'll be sitting there like, that's insane. How did you come up with that? So even just these intricacies of snapping, retreating, not snap, you know, when we'll get into all the snapping stuff, but there's just so much depth to the game. And I think that's what's great, because it is super deceptively simple. So like we've got friends, like you said, that have never played a card game in their life. Like if I sat down to them and said, hey, let's play Magic the Gathering, they'd like flip the table and say, what the heck is this? But because they love Marvel and they're super addicted, like they hit infinite. And I was like, I was expecting them to play it for like a couple weeks and then like, yeah, okay, I'm done with it. And they're just like completely addicted to it. And it's actually really cool to see, because it's like I can talk about card games now with them and they kind of understand what we're discussing. So I think it's just like, it's just a home run, really. Looking back now at like how many people are picking up, I guess, card games in general, thanks to Marvel Snap. So yeah, really, really cool. All right. So Black Panther is the latest card. We'll go through our thoughts. We kind of already gave our thoughts a little bit, and we'll go through some deck lists, guys. If you if you're listening to the podcast, the audio version, you're not watching the video on YouTube, I will have all the deck lists available on the Twitter account. So that's at Infinite Snap Pod. So you'll be able to go there. You'll be able to check out the deck list, put them in your game, and play them straight away. So it'll just give, I guess, it'll give you some, you know, a jump start on your Black Panther deck. We're gonna have a pool 1, pool 2, and pool 3 deck. Since Marvel Snap has gone global, we've kind of made it a theme to cater to all level of players. So, you know, if you've been playing from the beta or you've just started playing the game, you'll be able to make a Black Panther deck. Guys, so have you seen any, like, we spoke about on reveal. That seems to be the main theme. Have you guys seen any other decklist ideas in the limited time we've had the card? Rog?
Yes. Well, I funny enough, I just released a video on these decks. So,
there we go.
The pool 3 one I'm seeing a lot of is Wong, using Wong to you know, double, triple his size, quadruple his size. I saw Binks put out a funny video where he basically like triggered it with Onslaught, like basically triggered him like 246 times and broke the game.
Well,
great.
Which is kind of cool. Now, he didn't win the game, but it was fun to watch.
But it's funny,
It is funny. Like I've seen, you know, the main decks, obviously you have the Wakandans in there. You know, you put Nakia, you put Okoye, and you try to target him for the buffs. And then obviously maybe you use Wong. Looking forward to see how people get, I'm no doubt people will get even more creative as the days and weeks go by.
Yes.
Maybe as we get more Wakandans into the game in later, and I know we've seen some leaked stuff there. So, I don't know. Are we allowed to give our opinions on him yet? Is that part of this process?
So I'll let Justin say his decks, and then we'll go through our day one rating of Black Panther. Justin?
Sure.
So similar thing. Have the Wakandans in the deck with Okoye, Nakia. Kind of had Wong in there as well, just like on reveal. I also had Forge in the deck that I was playing.
Yep.
So basically, you're just trying to buff him up as much as you can before you play him. So the one thing that I found is Black Panther is a good card, right? But he kind of only plays to the one lane. Yep. You can get one lane like really massive, but then you don't get a really wide board. So the way to get around that is just Arnim Zola. That's kind of the deck I was playing. So, and like it'd be, you know, a few 1-2 drops, 3 drops, whatever, buff him a little bit. And then in a location where you don't have anything yet, you go Wong, Black Panther, and then Arnim Zola, and then he destroys both Wong and Black Panther onto the other two locations and get pretty beefy boy.
Yeah, I was going to say, because if you Arnim Zola and it's like it's random which one it picks, but of course it happens twice. So
yeah.
So that's pretty, it is so a cool, it, yeah.
Yeah, if you get Wong first, then you're laughing because then it'll trigger twice, yes, on both of the other locations.
Yeah, it's
if
crazy.
If he destroys Black Panther first, it's the other way around. But you still will generally win if you pull it off.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess you can also, if you miss the Arnim Zola, you can always Taskmaster So if you Taskmaster Black Panther, you get all the buffs, obviously, because it's the on reveals after. Yeah, am I correct in saying that?
If you Taskmaster
Black Panther. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
Yes. Panther, so you can, correct, even if you get Black Panther to like 20, like from a couple of buffs, like you can still, like if you don't get the Arnim Zola with Wong, you still get the buffs, you can Taskmaster it. It's not the best board, but it's not, you know, awful. So definitely some day one combos pretty much figured out. Well, even like day zero combos, really. Some other decks I've seen is throwing him into Mr. Negative. And just like, because Mr. Negative super RNG, and then if you hit the crazy combo, like you hit the Arnim Zola's got 6 power when you switch it, and then you know if you hit Black Panther, I mean that also is, I guess, a way to go. And then I also saw like in a move deck, I saw like a move deck on Marvel Snap Zone, which was really interesting. I have to try that one out, to be honest. I think it was more of like a hey, does this work sort of thing. but yeah, definitely, we'll definitely see some combos, but we'll go through some deck lists in a moment. But first up, Rog, what is your rating out of 5 and why? Day one rating.
Five. Oh, that's a great question. I didn't have a rating. It was more just like, I had a chat this morning. I was chatting to somebody on Discord about it and they put it very, very, very well. It was like, it's the perfect season pass card.
Yeah.
Where
okay.
You can miss out on it and not feel like you've, now obviously people would FOMO, you know, fear of missing out, will be like, I need every card. But I think you can be rest assured, if you don't have Black Panther, you're not going to miss out. You're not going to like not hit infinite this season. So out of 5, I think he's good. I think I'd say about a 3 out of 5.
Yep.
I don't think he's not a bad card. He's not an amazing card. Doesn't break the game.
Yep.
I think one thing I would say is that I think he's a trap card. And this was something, again, that was told me this morning. And when I heard it, I was like, you're right. This is a card that people are going to try and mega buff and dominate one lane and then not be able to win 2 other lanes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, I think you're definitely right. Like when we look at an Odin deck, like we'd usually go White Tiger, like Wong, White Tiger, Odin, and win 2 lanes. Whereas here, if you're going, you're exactly right. If you go Wong, Black Panther, Odin, it's like, great, I definitely win this lane. Can I win the other lanes from turn 1 to 3? Probably not. Mm. Most of the time. So, yeah, I definitely think it is a bit of a trap card in that it looks really good on the surface, but maybe it's not. Before I go on about it more, Justin, what's your rating and why?
Yeah, I kind of agree with Rog. I think it definitely is a the perfect season pass card. I think everyone's going to want to play it as well. It does attract the buyers, especially with marketing with Black Panther 2 coming out. I think the card itself, just from what I've played with it so far, I'd probably give it a 3.5. I don't know. I think slightly better than average, but definitely not over the top. I think it's a decent card, can fit into some decks.
Yep, for sure. Like, I think, am I right in saying that like Wakanda Forever is like the biggest Marvel film since Spider-Man? I reckon like it's pretty huge right now. I was actually talking to, if any of you know Ridiculous Hat, I had a fangirl moment last week. He actually ended up listening to the episode and messaged me. So more fangirling, but he was saying that he actually works in a cinema and he's like, this weekend is going to be nuts because it's one of like the MCU, not every film is like this huge event, but this is just massive. Like, it's they've put a lot of, you know, they've been promoting it a bunch. everything that happened, you know, with Chadwick, very sad. Like it's like people are just like super poured their heart into this film. So it's really nice to see that people are getting behind it. I'm super excited for it. I'm not like a super MCU fanboy or anything, but I watch all the shows. I watch all the movies. So like, yeah, very excited for it. And I think it's just perfectly like coincides with Marvel Snap's choice to release Black Panther. I think it's really, really cool. About the actual card, I agree with you guys. It's probably like a 3 out of 5. It's good. It's okay. It's not broken. It's not amazing. My only gripe is you have to buff it. If you don't buff it, I mean, you might as well play like Jessica Jones. I mean, Jessica Jones is going to get you to like the same amount of power. I guess something like Rescue. If you play Rescue and then play, you know, play a card there, like you're getting to good numbers. So if you miss the buff, it's pretty much a useless card almost. It's like what, an 8 power card for like a 5 cost 8 power. It's pretty bad.
Playing Arrow.
Yeah, you're literally better off playing Arrow. That's exactly right. So you have to go all in on the buffs, or you just play a different card. So I think there will definitely be some cool decks, but I don't think the deck building options are like super wide. Like something like Daredevil, you can play Daredevil in so many decks. Wave, you know, there's so many combos with Wave. So I think you're right. It's a good card. People are going to buy this. People are still going to buy the season pass. It's cool looking artwork. Season pass is great, but yeah, I don't think it's like crazy broken or anything, which is nice, because I feel like Wave was just like super broken initially. We didn't get to play with Wave, but heard complaints about that. And then I think since then it's been pretty okay. Like nothing's been game breaking that. Thorin, like Lady Thor, was like not too bad. But like yeah, I think the cards now, you don't feel like you're missing out if you aren't able to buy the season pass. You know, it's not ruining your Marvel Snap experience, and I think that's the right way to go, because if the season pass was a must-have, it would turn off a lot of players, and so I think they're really doing the right thing there. We'll find out as time goes on, but definitely think it's a cool card, happy with it, excited for the new season. Guys, on the rank thing, you were saying, like, once you hit infinite, it feels good because you can just play whatever and enjoy yourself. I always leave it like late, and I reckon I'm just going to grind it out in like a week if I can. I'm just going to absolutely junkie it. And so then I don't feel stressed about playing other decks. I have like full FOMO about everything. So that's quite funny. Guys, Rog, what's your thoughts? We've discussed this before, but I don't think we've discussed it since Global Launch. Do you think that the Season Pass is good value for money?
Absolutely.
Yep.
For me personally, I mean, value for money is a really subjective thing.
For sure.
€10, $10. I'm not sure what you... I'm assuming it's $10
we
for you.
We pay $15.
$15.
Yeah, we always get the crappy end of the stick usually.
Okay. And as when you convert that, is that more expensive than what the rest of the world is paying?
It might be a little bit. Justin, do you want to do a quick USD to AUD?
Yeah.
What's USD? $10? Is that what they pay?
$10. Yeah.
We're playing, I think, €10.99. I
think we're paying
and
less
the euro and the dollar is very similar at the moment,
okay.
So it's not a huge amount of difference.
It's like 15 AUD is like $9.72.
Okay. So it is. It's pretty much spot on almost. Yeah.
It's almost spot on.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's good.
Which
to
is
hear.
Good to see. I'd be curious. I'm actually really curious to know what it might be in maybe less economically developed countries.
Yes.
Where, you know, is it on par, or are they paying the same amount of money? I'd like to believe it's on par. Anyway, back to your original question. Yeah, for me personally, €10 is like I would probably lose €10 in my car at times, you know, per month. So
yeah.
If I went and looked in my car right now, that money I'd find that I'd be able to spend on Snap. I even like the starter bundle for what is it, $3.99. Get that Captain America, get some gold. It's I think it's priced at a very good point. I can see myself paying the €10 a month. I don't know. I've had this conversation about variants and stuff like that. I don't see myself ever spending real world money to buy variants. But for me, you get credits. You get, you know, opportunities at variants, you get boosters, you obviously get a new card, and then you get a cool variant for that card. So I think it's well worth the money, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think we've all said it's like, it's value for money. If you're playing the game consistently, you're probably buying it every month. it's good though, because you don't feel like you're missing out on too much if you don't buy it a month here and there.
Yeah.
But I definitely buy it every month. I compare it to something like Hearthstone. For most of, since the game's come out, I have been happy to drop $100 on it at least every season. So the $15 a month ends up much cheaper in the long run than a game like Hearthstone. So if you're comparing it to something like that, you're going to save a ton of money playing this game and have access to the entire card pool at the same time, which is kind of mind-blowing when you like think about it. Yeah, for sure.
I don't like comparing dollar value to hours.
Yes.
You know, people do that with certain games. Yeah. Like, is it worth the money? I'm paying $70, but the game's only 12 hours. You're like, that's not how you should evaluate how good a game is. But for this one specifically, let's be honest, we're all playing a lot more than 12 hours this game. You know, as you said, we're all playing probably at least 1 hour a day, like minimum 1 hour a day across the day. And that's on a day when you're like super busy.
Yeah, it's true.
So I think for €10, for a minimum of 30 hours a month is probably well worth your time.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. It's like, how much I probably spend more time playing Marvel Snap than like watching like a subscription service like Netflix, and I pay the same for Netflix. So I'm probably getting more value out of Marvel Snap, which is kind of crazy when I think about it. Justin, what's your I think everyone kind of
same across the board. Yeah. Also for me, it's probably even just supporting Second Dinner. Like it's an awesome game, having so much fun with it. Like, that's the least I can do for the amount of hours that I've poured into this game, the amount of fun that I've had with this game already.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I'll continue to do it for now, I guess.
Foreseeable future. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
So Season Pass, guys, if you're new to the game and you're wondering like, should I buy it, shouldn't I? Check out the rewards track. I mean, there's a bunch of free stuff you get as well, which is great, but you'll get a couple random variants, which, I mean, that's already your money's worth there straight up. Like, I think one variant is like 15, like, what is it for us, Justin? Like a 12, like the super rare variants for us are like $15 on their own. So, I mean, you're getting two rare variants, you're getting the variant for Black Panther, you're getting a bunch of boosters, you get free gold, like you get a ton. So definitely, if you've been tossing up, should I buy it, shouldn't I buy it, and you know, you want to buy it, I would say go for it. Buy it once, see if you are happy with it, you know, and I'm sure you'll be able to decide from there. I feel like it's a big question, like, do I buy a season pass? I mean, you buy one, and then, you know, if you get what you, if you got out of it what you think you wanted, then, you know, there's your answer. Cool. So, my next thing was ranked rewards. The ranked rewards, of course. So you actually, back again, if you get to infinite, you get a card back, you get an exclusive card back again. They've only been doing this since, I want to say, the Daredevil season is when they started this trend. So initially, infinite was just like an avatar. Now you get a card back. So some people like it, some people don't. I think if you're a casual player, it can kind of feel bad because you're probably not going to play enough to get it every season. You might get one here and there. When you do hit infinite, though, it's giving you something to strive for each month, which is also a nice thing. There's kind of two sides to that coin. I hope that at some point they maybe make those cards available, especially to people that missed out on them in the beta. Hopefully they make them available somehow. I know you're going to have the people who hit infinite who are super angry, like, oh, but I worked so hard to get this. We spoke about this before previously, that in Hearthstone, you had to play 5 games each season to get your card back, and then all of a sudden they just went, hey, you can just buy the card backs now. Some people were super, super angry. I get that side of it as well, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's a game. You know, you're playing it to enjoy it. Of course, you're playing it to get rewards and things like that as well, but I feel like we completely missed out on the first season. So we actually don't have the Trident card back. We didn't have access to the Trident card back. So for us, it's kind of like, well, I didn't even get the opportunity to get that. So I hope we can get that. FOMO, I want all the card backs. So hopefully we get access to that at some point. Mm. Guys, if you want that cool card back, it's a spear. It's like a gold card back. If you guys have seen it, it's really, really cool. I'll post a photo of it on the Infinite Snap Twitter as well, so you guys can check that out. But guys, let's get into our next topic, snap mechanics. I've seen a few arguments about why the snap and cube mechanic is bad for the game. I completely disagree. I'm going to assume you guys have played Marvel Snap enough that you probably also disagree. Rog, what's your thoughts on the cube mechanic? I guess what's a short rundown on why you like or don't like the cube mechanic?
I think the cube mechanic like defines what this game is. And if you are against it or don't like it, you potentially haven't like grasped. Again, you're basically asking, okay, hey, can you just maybe turn this into a different card game? Can you, you know, we basically have to restructure the whole ranking process in the game on how to level up. initially, I have to say, like, I can't, you know, I can understand from a new player perspective why it's frustrating, and I definitely probably felt this way at the start. But I do feel now it's almost like, you know, there's three parts of the game. There's like your skill in deck building, then there's your skill in playing, and then there's your skill in snapping. And it's just that third pillar that kind of elevates this game to a different thing that, you know, the first two, like, we've all experienced in every other game we've ever played, in every other CCG, TCG, LCG, whatever you've been playing these last, whatever, 10, 15, in my case, 37 years, you know, in the mid 1800s when we were all sitting around, like, drawing our own cards. Yeah. So that snap mechanic is essentially what makes this game special, I think. And it just... it's so frustrating losing 8 cubes. It's so amazing winning 8 cubes.
Yeah.
So I do understand that frustration for newer players coming in and trying to figure out, what the hell am I doing here? But I personally think, and again, we touched on it, about like an unranked mode won't make any sense. I don't think we'll ever have an unranked mode. We would love a tester, you know? It's like, but, you know, how do you test decks then? Mm. Like, obviously, you want to be able to test decks and see how they play out, but ultimately having no stakes and no cubes means every game is going to go 6 turns and your bluff mechanic is being removed from the game. So... I think it's going to be here to stay one way or the other. So I think you better get used to it if it's not something you don't like.
Yeah, for sure. They'd have to change the name of the game as well. Have to be Marvel Do Not Snap. Marvel Cube Game. Like, you just it's in the name of the game. So like, it's obviously a core mechanic of the game that they intend to be a core part of the game. So I don't see that changing ever. Justin, same thoughts, I'm assuming.
Yeah, same thoughts. I was going to say, it's literally in the title, so it's not going anywhere. I can't see them changing it anytime soon, if ever. So for new players, just kind of try and get used to it, get to know it, get to learn it. And it's not that bad. Like, I guess when we all first started, it's probably like Roger was saying, you know, it's something different that we probably haven't experienced before. By the time you get your head around it, it's like, all right, yeah. Like, this is fine. And then you just get used to it, and it just becomes second nature, I guess.
Yeah. I think a lot of the pushback has come from not seeing end game, you know, like that retreat mechanic.
Yeah.
I think that's where you're going, Shadow, with this. Sorry if I'm interrupting.
No, that's fine. So pretty much we actually spoke about this. I think maybe like last week's episode or the one before it, we spoke about for the first, I think it was just before global launch, our beginner tips were, just for your first week, maybe 2 weeks, just play games to the end so you can learn, you know, and you know, if a card beats you and you thought there's no way I lose this, write down the card and go, okay, I now know that this card is potentially can be played on turn 6 and beat my board. I remember Justin said in the early days, pool 1, pool 2, if your opponent playing a Chavez would lose you the game, he would retreat. And I'm like, that's not a bad... like rule of thumb. A lot of decks play it. If you think that a 9 power card will make you lose, I'm like, as a beginner, that's kind of, I guess, something easier to get your head around. And then obviously when that 12 power Magneto comes out, you can go, oh, I didn't know about that card. Write it down, which this happened to me. I hit pool 3. This Magneto came out. I said, what the heck is this? This just like moved all my cards and I lost, wrote it down. And I just, you know, maybe for the next week, I had that in my head. Like, oh, if they play Magneto, I lose now. So I think for your first few weeks, play out your games. Don't worry too much about your cubes. Like, obviously get used to how it works, but don't stress about, you know, getting to 100, getting to infinite in your first 2 weeks of the game. Mm. Learn what you win, beat, learn what you lose to. And then when you start snapping, you're going to have like a really good mindset of, wow, I'm like, you know, 20 power ahead. I'm snapping on turn 4. You know, there's not much that beats me. So I definitely understand people being frustrated with, but the game doesn't end. I don't know what the result was going to be. I definitely can see that side of it. But it's part of the game, it's a core mechanic of the game. So I feel like your first month you play and then you just hit a stride all of a sudden and you go, oh, this is when I should snap. Oh, hang on, this is looking pretty bad. Now I should retreat. And I mean, yeah, it's just like teething. It's like a teething thing when you start the game. It's very different to other card games, but once you get your head around it and you've played, you know, a ton of games, you'll be like, all right, I'm ready. I know what I'm doing. Yeah, for sure.
I guess it's like anything when you start it. You know, you remember being a kid and like you're playing guitar or piano or something and you were just crap. And you were like, hey, I'm never doing this again because I'm not amazing at it from the get-go. Yes. You know, oh, I thought I would be a prodigy at this and I'm not. So I have to say, I'm never going to continue. I think you make a very good point. And I wish somebody had said that to me at the beginning when I started. It's like, just play every game out. You know, watch the six turns go by. Learn the cards that can destroy you. Learn the cards that that you have that destroy your opponent. And just figure out those combos. Because ultimately, it's the only way you learn is probably by defeat is is the best way we learn. You know, it's like we figure out ways to kind of overcome that. And I guess it's that balance. How do you make new players feel good about themselves?
Yeah.
But also help them learn as well. It's a real, you know, I mean, I'm not an expert on game design. It's it's a real challenge. But I do feel go ahead, Justin, sorry.
Yeah, sorry, we were saying that last week. Mm. We were just saying, like, you just learn from your mistakes.
That's
and
it.
You got to make the mistakes to learn.
And that's
so 100%. You just have a look, you watch the end of the game, and yeah, if you made a mistake or you lost, then you learn from it.
That's right, and that's a life lesson, kids. You learn from your mistakes. That's not even a Marvel Snap lesson. But it's definitely right. You can't know that you're going to make the mistake without making the mistake. So if you're retreating on turn five every... you know, 10 games in a row because you're just worried you're going to lose. You're not going to learn. I reckon, first week, first 2 weeks even, just play your games out, see what happens, and you'll be, I think, set to go. On the snapping mechanic, people who kind of can't get their head around it and they say that, you know, this is dumb, just get rid of it. I like to think of it as the first cube is like you're blind in poker. So you're putting up the one cube. And then snapping is you're doubling your bet. So you're like, okay, yeah, I'm in a good position. I'm going to, you know, place a bet this turn. And then if your opponent can either call it, which is continuing the game, or if they snap back, that's them raising the bet. And that's, once I thought of it like that, I'm like, well, like every game you play, you're putting up a cube. Like that's a given. Your entry to play is one cube. And then you're going to either give up that one cube, give up more cubes if you're snapping, or possibly win one or more cubes. So it's kind of like a pay-to-play sort of thing with your cube system.
Yeah.
With your rank points. And that's, I think it's really refreshing. Like I think of other games with ranks, it's like you just play games and you get an arbitrary amount of rank points. And, you know, is it because of my skill? Is it because of this? Is it because of that? And Tom, who's usually on the podcast, he said it like, I know how many rank points I'm going to win or lose before I commit to turn six. Like there's something refreshing about that. Like I am deciding on the stakes. And I'm like, it's a good way to think about it. Like I know if I win this, I go to this rank, or if I lose, I go to this rank sort of thing.
Yeah.
So that's
absolutely the poker logic is very much there. You're making your opponent, you're making your opponent pay to see the next card, or they're making you pay to see the next card.
Yeah.
And I think if you've played poker in the past, you kind of, when that's made clear to you, I mean, again, it wasn't clear to me at the beginning, but when it was like, oh yeah, like I'm bad at poker, but I understand the rules and I understand what the basic concepts are. So yeah, once you wrap that head around, and again, I'll reiterate again, you take it out of the game, we may as well be playing a different card game, lads.
Yeah.
We're playing the same game we've played since we were kids.
That's right. It just becomes a Marvel trading card game that is just a clone of every other trading card game, but we've added, you know, a locations. But like, I think even for deck building, like all of a sudden, instead of going from fun combos, it goes to let's make the most consistent deck possible, like every other card game. And that's it. That's it. You just play this deck and we're done. So I think that the deck building opportunities are amazing because of the retreat mechanic. Like I can play a hella discard deck. It works 1 in 10 games, but I might only lose 9 cubes in those 9 games and then win 8 on my 10th game, you know? And it's like, well, I haven't lost 9 games. I've lost 1 rank point instead of losing. Like if I lost 9 games in another card game, I'm like bottom rank now, you know? So definitely.
It's really interesting. I this is a weird take. It's from a content creator perspective. It's like, it's so interesting seeing thumbnails around this game and not one person has said a percentage win rate on their thumbnail.
Yes.
Because percentage win rate doesn't mean a jot in this game.
That's right. I actually looked at my percentage win rate on SnapFan because I hadn't, now that they've got like a PC tracker, I don't have an Android, I couldn't really be bothered. I put it on and I had like a positive win rate, like just, I think I had like 53.5% or something. And I'm like, that's like, it's not bad, but it's not amazing. I'm like, I feel like I'm okay at the game. And then I looked back and it's like, oh, but like my cube, the cubes that I've won is actually quite high. I'm like, oh, that's, yeah. I guess that really sums it up. Like, I don't need a 65% win rate to, you know, hit infinite. And I think that's a the beauty of the game. Like, I could potentially go negative on my win rate and still be positive in cubes based on the system.
Yep. Absolutely. You can hit infinite with a negative win rate in theory. Now, it's probably not advised, but it's definitely possible.
I vouch to be the first infinite player with a 40% win rate. but no, you're definitely right. I think it's a great system. I think it takes a little, a bit of teething, but once it clicks, I feel like it really clicks and you're just set from there. So just keep playing, guys. Keep learning. I mean, if you don't like learning when playing a card game, I mean, maybe card games aren't for you, because card games are like, that's all there is. It's like, if you're just playing the game every day, if you're just playing it casually, you're having fun, keep having fun. But if you want to get really good at a card game, it's like, just knowing the cards, that's how you get better. It's not like a sport where it's all skill based, you know, like you got to hone your physical skills. This is like all mental, learn the cards, memorize all the cards, memorize all the plays. And I mean, that's the only way to get, I guess, improve in a card game, really. It's not really mechanical skill. It's like, I guess, like I think of like shooters, like mechanical skill, you can get by, you can be terrible with strategy, but as long as you've got like mechanical ability, you can be really good. Whereas this is like all strategy. And I mean, just the more you play, the better you're going to get. Keep grinding it out, guys. Patch notes. There wasn't a ton that was super important. We had the patch earlier in the week. Really, the main thing, Rog, was titles. Justin, have either of you got titles yet?
Yeah. No? Did you get one? I read through these patch notes and I'm like, titles? What are titles? And then I started playing some games and I saw these funny as titles. They're hilarious. I did actually get one.
One of them was the one I saw today, which made me laugh. It said, I think it was got them variants.
I've got seen that one.
Them variants. And I just died laughing. I thought that was fantastic. While you're looking that up. Oh, you got it? Yeah, go.
Yeah, mine says built like a truck.
that's pretty accurate, actually. I like that. Yeah.
But there are some hilarious ones. Yeah. Now I'm not going to be able to think of any, but there are some hilarious ones where I've seen them and I've actually laughed.
Isn't it?
Ridiculous Hat, you mentioned him earlier, but Ridiculous Hat tweeted out his one and it's working from home.
Yes, I saw that. That's so great.
Which, you know, a lot of us have kind of felt a little bit attacked by that.
I didn't get to work at home throughout everything. So yeah, no, I'm pretty pissed at people that work from home for sure. The other big thing was, not a big thing, but they added character names on the avatars. So I guess if you're not versed in Marvel characters, you can at least click an avatar and see what the character actually is. So, I mean, that's a nice addition for sure. But changes to actual cards. So Wolfsbane and Dagger now count unrevealed cards. So if there are unrevealed cards, they will count towards their ability, which I think is a nice change because, I mean, technically the cards are there. So I'd assume that's how it was intended to work. Daredevil now, it's been a few months, so Daredevil is now available in Pool 3. So if you didn't purchase Daredevil in the Season Pass or you're a new player and you obviously didn't have access to it, he is available in Pool 3, so you can now unlock him. For those that don't know, a card is exclusive in the Season Pass for 2 months, I believe, after the Season Pass has ended. I believe that's correct.
Yeah,
two more seasons, and then that card will be available for free. So you can now unlock Daredevil, which is great. So then in a month's time, I guess Nick Fury was the next one. Am I right?
Yep.
So like in a month Nick Fury will become available. So I think it's a good system. It's exclusivity, but only for a very short period, which is, I think, completely fine. And Nick Fury has now been added to the random pool. So cards that add random cards to your hand or into the game, Nick Fury can now be added, which is really cool. So things like...
Didn't know he wasn't included, to be honest.
Yeah, now thinking back, it's never happened to me and it makes sense because it wasn't added. So... X-Mansion, Agent 13, like X-Mansion will play a card. Agent 13 adds a random card to your hand. So Nick Fury is now able to appear, which is cool. And then everything else was just bug fixes, PC bug fixes, tons of bug fixes. Whoa, that is a lot. I'm not reading through any of that.
No.
Usually we go through them like pretty quickly, but that is so much. Now that there's a PC client, there's tons of like little bug fixes, which are great.
Yeah.
It's great that they're happening because, you know, we don't want to neglect those sort of things. But those were the main changes.
And another change to note, I don't know if you missed it or you'll get into it, is Jubilee pulling out, what was it now? Jubilee pulling out...
Angela.
Yeah, that's right. Angela
doesn't.
So yeah, no longer counts to Angela's buff.
Interesting. That's actually not on there. Was that a previous update? Very possible.
No, it is there. If you have a quick look through, there's a Jubilee one. The other thing that she that doesn't do any more work anymore is Jubilee into Lockjaw.
Yep.
Lockjaw doesn't then trigger and Jubilee would disappear.
Oh.
Doesn't do that anymore.
Doesn't do that anymore. Thank which you. Which is similar. I actually got to infinite with a Lockjaw deck, so that actually makes me upset to be honest. The one thing I actually I was streaming it last night and I feel it needs another buff is I saw where somebody had played a Iron Fist, you know, which kicks a card to the left.
Yes.
Played an Odin on Iron Fist.
Yep. Oh.
And then it kicked Odin to the left, which happened, you know, Iron Fist is like happens, you know, the next card you play is kicked to the left. So I feel like that's in that Jubilee bracket somewhere, you know, where
interaction.
That interaction shouldn't happen, but does. Anyway, that was another interesting one. I thought once I saw that Jubilee fix, I thought all of those kind of little interactions that shouldn't happen might be fixed, but obviously not. There's still interactions.
Saying that Odin lands and he moves twice?
No, no, he shouldn't move at all because he's triggering Iron Fist's battle cry or on reveal ability. Is the next card you play.
Got you. So So Iron Fist was played earlier in the game. It's already moved the card. Yes, I got it now. Yes, that definitely seems like it shouldn't happen.
And it actually lost me the game. I was super pissed about it.
Oh, yeah.
It's like exactly the same.
Odin got put into a lane that I was winning and now suddenly they had 8 power and I was like, that shouldn't happen.
So
but anyway, just on the original point, they did fix. It's kind of in the vein of that, like
yes, it is
of those sort of interactions that shouldn't work. I felt like they'd fixed all those interactions that shouldn't work, but obviously there's still a few floating out there.
I hate the Lockjaw one, and I'm so glad they changed the Jubilee Lockjaw because I have had games where they've played Jubilee, they've played Lockjaw. They've now filled that location with an Infinaut. They're like Jubilee's gone back into the deck. Then come back out again at a later point in that animation, pulled out another card that's changed, and I just sat there like, this is a 4 power card, Jubilee, and it's absolutely just broken their board.
It was pretty broken.
It was just a silly interaction, and it was actually down in bug fixes, which tells me it wasn't a card change because it was actually not intended to work that way.
Exactly. You basically made the card do what it should do.
Yes.
From the start.
Yeah, so that's a nice fix. I'm glad that they have done that. So I'm excited to unlock a title. I almost want to unlock a title instead of a card. I've still got seven or eight cards to go, but I'm like, I just want a title. The titles have been really creative. I'm really, I like how they've done it. Titles in other games can be pretty boring and plain. There'll be things like, you know, triggered and like, oh, you know, cracked, like things like that. These are like actually funny and like the working from home one, that's just so genius. Like it's relatable. That's the word I'm looking for. We can relate to them. Like I've got them variants. I'm like, man, when I see a deck with 12 variants, I'm just like, man, this person is like crazy. So definitely really cool to see that added. It's such a simple thing as well, but it just enhances the game a little bit. So we won't go into this one too much because we've gone through so much, but I just want to touch on Sensei Demo in our Discord. He wrote, it was actually quite a long paragraph, but it needed to be because he was kind of discussing how Justin and I have spoken about being around level 2600 collection level. Justin has how many cards left? Three?
Three cards.
I think I have about 7 or 8, let's say. And then someone like Sensei Demo, who is at like 2500, and he's like, I've got 19 cards to unlock. And I'm like, that is insane. And he's just like, it's like, I hear you guys and I think I'm at almost at the same level as you guys, but I've just had really bad luck initially. And he was kind of like, what do you think a solution is? And his solution was kind of like guaranteed cards. And I'm like, that kind of takes, like, oh, I get it. Like, you know, you just get cards, but it kind of removes that endorphin hit you get when you open a collector's case and get a card. Do you guys have any thoughts on how, not so much how the system works, because we've discussed that to death, and Sensei Demo said that, like, you guys have discussed it a lot, but what's maybe a simple solution? I kind of had my own idea, but what's a simple solution so that maybe two people at the same level are having a similar experience, I guess?
Is there a Is there a cap they have where you are guaranteed to unlock a card in a certain amount of caches?
I think it's like, what, what 10, is that number? 10 caches? Yeah.
Yep.
So it's 10. I believe it's 10 caches, as Rog said. So it's that's kind of like a...
Can I just highlight the fact that you call it a cache? What the hell's a cache?
Do we say cache, Justin?
Cache.
No, we definitely say caches in Australia. It's a cache, yeah? You guys say cash?
Well, it's a French word, isn't it? It's cache.
Yeah, but like, so how do you...
I've never heard that before in my life.
I could be wrong. I'm 95% certain. Somebody could probably Google it. Maybe someone in chat.
Chat, let us know. So wait, you would pronounce it as caches.
I would say cash or cache.
But cache, that is so fancy. Oh, I would like to open my cache.
You sound like the people who tried to bully me in school when I pronounced the French words correctly. I'm like, no, I'm pronouncing it like the people who were supposed to be imitating. Yeah. Were you one of those kids in school? It's like, je m'appelle, you know, and you're like, you know, you're not being cool by not pronouncing the words. But anyway.
No,
I'm 37 now. You can't bully me, okay? Screw you.
Australia, look, I get this a lot. I have a lot of American friends through like content and just like gaming. And like, we went through Australian slang and there's so much of it. We should go through it one day, Rog, because you'll be amazed at some of the words that we use. Even pronunciation, I guess, like we pronounce things pretty casually. I guess we don't slur words, but we kind of, you know, we just tail off at the end, you know. We're very quick in our speech, I guess. Fast and loose, I like to think. But yeah, so let's collection level card unlocks. Caches, collector's caches, I'm going with it. I've got to commit 100% now. I've been saying it my whole life. So basically, like, it's especially for content creation, and everyone's spoken about it. If you're at 2,500, I'm at 2,500. I post a cool deck. You go, I'm missing three cards. I can't play this deck. And then I kind of get that part. But even if we have different cards, someone at two different levels, I could have 10 more cards than the other person has available. And I guess it can... Sensei Damo basically said it has been the most like deflating experience in Marvel Snap. Like, he said he loves the game, but every time he just doesn't get a card and he sees other people that have all these cards, and he's like, but I've put in the hours and time just like they have, and yet I'm missing this kind of stuff. And I mean, even if they haven't purchased season passes, they're still missing like 15 cards compared to our three and like seven. So I definitely, did you have any quick solutions for that? Or do you think you're happy with how the system is?
I'm not happy about it. I actually finished collection track late. I think I was in the 2,800s, 2,900s, maybe even early 3,000s by the time I finished it. The pity timer, I suppose, is there. Like you said, that every 10, you're supposed to get a card. But even then, getting 10 is a long time. It's a lot of levels. It's a lot of upgrading. Yeah. It's a lot of boosters. It's a lot of credits. So I don't know what the solution is. I see people in chat giving solutions here or suggestions.
Yeah, let's have a look.
Sorry to interrupt. Damo's just saying, you know, maybe we at like certain increments, people are guaranteed the same amount of cards. So just say it to the collection level 2,000, everyone's got the same amount of cards.
Yeah, so that's similar to what my solution, but I'll let Rog finish.
Very same. And we're just talking about that. Like I said, I'm playing my free-to-play account and I'm in pool two, but a lot of, you know, and Devil Dino tends to be like a very strong deck in pool two. But as soon as you unlock Shang-Chi, it's suddenly you've got this ultimate counter and I don't have Shang-Chi. So I can't play the counter to probably one of the best decks in that zone of playing.
Yeah.
So I get that, that feeling of like, oh, I can't make anything. The one thing I would say though is, and it's probably not a solution, and maybe doesn't make people feel better, but you can always craft something. Like, you can always run a deck that's going to be competitive. Like, one thing I would say is that there are very few decks. In fact, there are probably no decks that are like the ultimate win more deck It's really down to the pilot. It's really down to the amount of cubes you can grind out. Because win rate doesn't matter, okay, maybe you are running the best deck in the game, but maybe you're averaging 1 to 2 cubes a game. But if you run a less off-meta deck that can average 3 or 4 cubes, you're going to climb faster. So one thing I would say, and that's something, a mental hurdle a lot of people might have to get over, and maybe some people will never get over it. But
yeah,
that's the only thing I could say as a consolation prize is that I bet you, with your collection and your collection level, you can create a very competitive deck that can very efficiently grind out cubes if you play the deck well.
I like what you said there. I think, Justin, I think we might have discussed this, but initially when I started playing and I saw content of all these pool 3 decks, I felt so left out. And I'm like, oh, how am I ever going to get to infinite with these, you know, these starter cards, these pool 1 cards, these pool 2 cards? And I think I got into pool 2. And I just started grinding out a swarm discard apocalypse deck. And I went up like 70 ranks that season without touching a pool 3 card. And it was exactly what you just said. When I finally got my head around any deck can do well with this retreat and cube mechanic, you're in control of how many cubes you're winning and losing. And you're deciding if you're, you know, am I in a position to win? Once I got my head around that, you're exactly right. You can play... Obviously, you know, you want a cohesive deck. You don't want to just throw a bunch of cards together. You know, there are pool 1 and pool 2 decks that you can play well into pool 3 and have no issue at all. So I like that. Challenge the listeners to, you know, if you're in pool 1, you're in pool 2, build a deck, get comfortable with it, and I guarantee you guys will have no issues at all. I definitely think that is something, once I got my head around that, I felt a little bit better about not having all these crazy cool pool 3 cards instantly. It definitely softens the blow a little bit, for sure. Justin, any quick...
I reckon, I reckon, like, one way to maybe help the situation a bit is to see a restructure of pools. So if they lowered the amount of cards in pools but increased the amount of pools... So just say each pool has 20 cards, like 30 for cards. Instance.
Yeah, okay, 20, 30 cards, yep.
Yeah, so then, you know, you have, say, I don't know, pools 1 to 10, and by a certain level, everyone will have the same amount of cards at the same pool of cards. But it is kind of a catch-22, because then people who are just starting the game or people who play casually, they know that they're not going to get a pool 10 card for ages and ages. You know what I mean? They're going to have to grind and grind and play more until they see like those higher pool cards. Whereas now it's kind of like, it is a bit of luck. Like, you know, our friend Tom has been playing a Destroyer deck since he first got into pool 3.
Yeah.
At the end of pool 3, and I just got Destroyer. So it's a bit lucky. That would help the situation, but I don't necessarily think that would help the game or make people feel better about the collection levels and the pools and everything.
I like just thinking about like having to post a thumbnail, pool 7 decks. sounds, I get what you're saying, like as a solution, it's maybe not the best solution, but it is a solution. Yeah, I'm just like imagining, which is like 20 pools now that you got to think about. I've had trouble explaining how the 3 pools work, to be honest. I definitely get the solution.
And the game and the developers have never made that public. It's purely the community that has figured out the pools.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you remember back to the original days, it was like there was literally like a spreadsheet where people would just throw I've unlocked this card now, so I must be now I've unlocked this card, but that card doesn't get unlocked past this level, so now that must be a third pool. You know, that this ongoing spreadsheet that was developed over time as people ranked up. So, you know, only the community figured out there are pools. Like, the developers, they don't think have even ever acknowledged. Well, maybe they have acknowledged it in Discords and
I think
they've never on any public communication in a promotional video, you know, have never talked about pools.
Yes, for sure. That spreadsheet, it sounds like just the Marvel Snap hive mind. Just the community hive mind figuring it out, which is great. But 100%. You're definitely right. It's never been like, it's not explained in the game. It's just... Mm. We've just figured that out as time's gone on. Like you said, people are just like, hey, this is the card I got. This is what you can get. The solution...
I would wager there are casual people out there that have no idea.
For sure.
In any pool.
Probably.
I guess as a community, the Marvel Snap community came up with a way to differentiate, where you are at in your collection level, which is definitely, it's definitely important when you're thinking about deck building and things like that. So I definitely think it's probably something, maybe not explained to that extent, but I guess explained maybe, hey, when you get to, you know, rank 500, you will have access to all these new cards. Just, I guess, to give some people an idea, because I just keep seeing a comment after comment, when do I get Spider-Man? When can I get this card? And it's like, there's no actual, like, the answer is like...
Or how? Yeah, I got the question, how do I get Carnage?
Yeah, I'm
play the game.
But like if someone says, how do I get Spider-Man? It's like, well, you will get it between 474 and question mark. Like, you will unlock it eventually, but I can't tell you when. And that's like, I guess, yeah, it can confuse people when they start looking into this stuff. The idea that I had was, and Sensei Damon and I spoke about this a bit in the Discord, maybe, so you still have the collector's caches, you know, you open a case, you get credits, you open a case, you might get gold. So maybe three caches, you get either titles, gold, credits, and the fourth case, you get a card. So that's your 25%, but it's like a guaranteed cache. So it's like you've got three regular ones and then the fourth one is your card, and then three regular ones and then your fourth one is your card. Like, you can get variants in the regular ones, everything except a card. And then, okay, yes, it's not going to be the card you want every time, but at least at 2500, me and you and Justin will all have the same amount of cards. Like, we will have the same amount of cards to play with, rather than Justin's missing like three cards and I'm missing 10 and Roger's missing none, and then someone else is missing 20 at the same level, you know? So I definitely, that was maybe, I guess, my solution, but it does take away some of that excitement of opening a new card, to, you know, that ripping open a pack of trading cards and getting the chase card that you were after. That's kind of how it feels. I mean, when I open Destroyer, I'm like throwing my phone in the air. I'm like, yes, a new deck to play with. So I guess they don't want to take that away, but it really is a hard question to answer, to be honest. Yeah, but-
Damo's saying in the chat that he's a big fan of that solution. I'm okay with it, I guess, but I don't like it personally, just because I love the randomness of it.
Yeah.
But again, it's probably, yeah, I don't know.
You flipped.
I just love the randomness of it.
You flipped. You went from this system is rough to, hang on, I actually kind of like it because it makes me think about deck building. It makes me... make decisions. I'm missing this card. Well, this card could replace it. Or maybe, you know what? I won't worry about this deck list. I'm going to change four cards in it to something that I have. And I think, yeah, you kind of embraced it in the end.
Yeah, I think early on, it's just so overwhelming. You're watching these videos of like pull three cards and top decks, and you're just like, wow, I have such a grind before I get all of these cards. Whereas now, probably because I'm more towards the end of the scale, I'm looking back and I'm like, you know what? It was actually so fun to open these caches.
No, and, don't change. Don't. Roger's
going to change.
I'm not even 100% sure if Roger isn't trolling yet. So this could just be a complete troll and we just look like idiots now.
No, I'm just going with it. So, yeah, looking back and opening these caches and going and I'm just like good. Opening these cards that I've wanted or like these awesome cards that just unlock like different decks to play.
Yeah.
I think that like they're probably some of the highlights of playing Marvel Snap over this time is unlocking like awesome cards.
Highlights. It's amazing how we agree on so much, but then there's so much leeway for, there's actually just two sides of the coin, and that's always going to be the case.
Yeah.
But even between, I guess, you know, people that have been playing since the beta, we like just completely differing opinions on things. And I think it's just a great thing that like, you know, we're not arguing about it, but you know, people like different things, and like trying to culminate that all into this game is like a massive task. And it's kind of cool to see, you know, what happens. Collector's tokens is, I guess, a solution that Marvel Snap and Second Dinner have decided on for now. So, you know, at least being able to target when that finally drops, being able to target specific cards that you're missing will be very useful. I'm still missing Magneto, Sarah, Doctor Doom. Like, I'm missing some core cards that I wish... I see Sarah Miracle deck, this deck, that deck. I'm like, I literally have not even bothered looking at the deck because I can't try it out. Like, I watch a video, I'm like, yeah, that's cool. I'm never playing that until, you know, who knows when. So, yeah, I there's two sides to it. But I have to admit, I do enjoy opening a new card. But nothing is worse.
Unless you open something that you don't actually want.
Like,
unless you're like, oh, yeah. card. Oh, it's Wasp.
All of the cards.
Not, feels... not bad. I'm trying to think of a really bad example.
I'll give you a bad card. You ready?
Jacket. Yeah. So... yeah, that's the one I was thinking of. That's... Oh,
Rog, I have like I had like 9 cards left, and they're all absolute bangers. Every card is amazing. Except Yellow Jacket, and of course that's what I pulled this week. I like, almost cried. I'm like, oh, card! Never mind.
All right, so I've got to the bottom of it. It is a French word. The word cachet with the or at the end is to hide in French. But I think the way you pronounce the word that we're looking at is cash.
Cash. Caches.
Okay.
Caches, but like I would give my.
Well, you're pluralizing a French word. I think it's just like six cash. 7. But every one time... cash, 6 cash.
Oh, cash.
I can explain
cash.
When we say cash.
Because cash is money.
in Australia, the E kicks the A.
Okay.
The E in cash kicks the A to make an A sound, and then we say cash.
Look, we won't go into it, we'll just know that I'm right and you guys are wrong.
Rog is correct.
You're definitely right.
This is definitely not an... This is definitely...
I'm right and all of Australia is wrong. Wonderful.
That is a bold statement. Guys, the Infinite Snap podcast has officially turned into an English podcast, a language podcast, where we just discuss different ways to pronounce things. I'm going to call it the Infinite Snap podcast.
Still laughing about how Shadow called Aussies fast and loose.
That's all we are, man. Am I not wrong? Is that how you would not describe an Aussie? Our culture is fast, mate, loose, fast and loose, mate. We just live our life full pace. All right. Guys, that is all our major topics for today. We didn't go through the deck list. But I will post those on the Infinite Snap pod. They're basically a pool 1, a pool 2, and a pool 3 deck using Black Panther. We've gone like where there's been a long episode, but definitely go and check those out. Throw them in the game. We'll talk about them next week. Let us know, let us know. Tweet at us if you've been testing out any of the decks, having fun with Black Panther, what your thoughts are. But it is time for everyone's favorite quiz game, Snap Who. Now, Roger's completely in the dark here, which I'm actually kind of stoked about. Justin, do you have a card in mind, possibly? Or do you want me to grab one? Do you have a good one?
I don't know. I can have a look if you Let's explain both. The rules.
Yes, right, go for it. Okay, so, guys, for those at home, Roger, if you want to close the chat, if you have it open, get rid of it.
I have, yep.
Yep, get rid of it, because this is, chat always get it right, because they're geniuses. So, basically...
Is it Black Panther?
Yes. Correct. Okay, so basically, Justin is going to read out an ability of a Marvel Snap card. Now you have all the cards unlocked, so you've got a bit of an advantage over the rest of us. Basically, you need to tell us the name of the card, the power of the card, and the energy cost of the card. You're going to be playing for the guest, so we're going to have a tally of the guest points. You can get a maximum of 3 points. So you get 1 point for each that you get correct. Now, you're looking pretty confident, which I like. We have been discussing that.
I like the way this is not locations, because if it was locations, I would lose
this. It's funny you said that, because now that we're unlocking more cards and it's getting a little easier, we're talking about introducing locations as part of the game. Okay. So you're lucky that you...
I concede.
You've come at a time where the Infinite Snap podcast is still only cards for Snap Who. So you're lucky in that regard. We've had some interesting ones over the life of the podcast. I go into it very confident, and I just go like I'm 100% convinced that I've got the card, and it's always completely wrong, which is always quite enjoyable. Justin, have you got something spicy for us?
Yeah, I think I got something.
All right. So this is just a card, any card from Marvel Snap, a released card. All right, Justin, do you want us to give us the ability name or the ability?
I will give you the ability. All right, let's go with... I've got 2 in mind. Let's go with...
Well, you're trying to throw them off.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, let's go with this one.
All right, go for it.
All right, Rog. On reveal, your opponent gains control of one of your other cards at this location.
Right, Justin, now you have to guess all 3 before we tell you if it's how many you got correct, if any.
Okay. It's Viper. It costs 2 and has 3 power.
He's going to get it. He's got it, doesn't he?
It's too easy.
I knew, I was just like, as, I was like, when I heard it, I'm like, man, even I know this and I don't know any of them.
So, really?
Yeah. Like no one plays it, but I mean, I've seen it. I've seen it
no
sitting.
No one plays it.
It's not, nice. It's not heavily played. Played in very specific decks.
I think I have an advantage. Having played since maybe the middle of season two and
That's true, all the cards definitely
makes life a little bit easier for me. As I said, if this was a location, you'd have me like dead.
We have to get started on the locations.
So this is the card here. There you go, chat. You've probably all got it. So 2 cost, 3 power. And you use the ability to give your opponent the hood. Yeah, that's probably there.
Absolutely. Or a rock.
Or a rock. No. Give me the rocks. I'll take them with my Patriot
or
deck.
Electro. Yeah. Electro's another, another good one.
That's one of those combos that we were discussing. There was a Justin, do you remember the location that absolutely broke Electro? I think it's the one. Oscorp, it was Oscorp Tower. So like we didn't realize that till after it was featured. And it was like, you get the benefit of Electro, but your opponent gets the debuff, and it's like stupidly powerful.
So that was pretty... And you play it on turn 3, so they can't counter it. It moves on turn 3, so there's nothing they can really do about it.
Actually a crazy combo there. But guys, that is another round of Snapu. Rog has got 3 points on the board for the guests, so well done, Rog. Guys, we're going to wrap it up in a moment, but before we do, Rog, did you want to plug all of your socials so everyone knows where to find you?
My camera just went out of focus for some reason. I don't know what's going on here.
There we go.
Plug all my socials. Yeah, at Rogtronic. I don't know if that's on the screen anywhere. Maybe it is now that I've hovered my face. My name is Roger. Everyone calls me Rogtronic, though, or Hey Rog, and I'm like... My name is Roger, but there's no D in my name. So, like, what else am I supposed to do? Anyway, Rogtronic on everything. I'm streaming on Twitch. I'm actually streaming on Twitch and YouTube at the same time. So if you're on one, you found me on both.
Yes.
On Twitter as well. I've got my own Discord channel as well, The Scrapyard. So hopefully, I'll have some retweeting and stuff like that.
I'll have all of those links on the podcast. Yeah. So do not stress.
I would say if you've got room for one more YouTube Marvel Snap video a day, come check me out, come say hello. I'm really enjoying the game. I'm enjoying making content for it, and thank you for having me on the podcast as well. You guys are phenomenal, and just say thank you to Shadow as well for coming on my channel and 1v1ing me in a little cube rush. Go check that video out as well. If I can promote one video, make sure you go check out where Shadow and myself do a little 1v1.
It was very, very fun. Rog, it's been a pleasure. It's been so much fun having you. Looking forward, we'll definitely have you on again in the near future. It was great getting, it was interesting to hear the things we agree on, the things we disagree on. It's always good to hear other people's opinions, because when it's just me and Justin, it's just us just writing each other's answers. That's sick. It's the best game ever.
It's just you guys mispronouncing words everywhere.
Looking back, us Australians, we really do butcher a lot of words.
Wasn't there a funny video I read around? What's the numbers you pronounce or something?
We pronounce numbers correctly.
I saw, do you guys follow Alana Pierce, Charlanazard? She was doing some funny stuff on how Australians pronounce numbers or something.
Everyone does. Anyone who's not from Australia does funny things about Australia, because they move here and they're just like, these guys are crazy. And we're actually pretty normal. It's just when you've come from a different country, it's just like, wow. And it's the same for me. If I travel overseas, what is wrong with these people? They drive on
Of us don't have to live with a country that every 10 square feet has at least 4 sharks and 3 snakes in it. It's gotta be the biggest
misconception of our country is, and everyone jokes about it, but then there's always that one person that's like, no, isn't that true? It's like, I might see one spider a month if it's it depends. Obviously, if you live out in the country, for sure, you're going to see plenty of snakes and stuff. But all of us living in the city and the suburbs.
I see no spiders a month. It's great. Drieger post. It is. It's no or something. It's nar. What is it? Yeah, when you say the word no and you pronounce it with two or three syllables.
We say nah. So we say yeah, we say yeah as yes, and we say nah as no.
Okay.
Because it's fast. Right.
Is that not normal?
No.
It's like nah.
Nah.
Yeah, that's it. It's like you say the word no and you say nah.
No, we don't say it like that. We say like NAH. Absolutely do. We say NAH. Nah. Like nah, NAH. Anyway,
okay.
we're just roasting Australians is the new theme. All right, guys. Official Twitter at Infinite Snap Pod. We're gonna have those deck lists posted and a couple of other things we discussed on the podcast. So if you're listening to the audio version, go and check that out. And if you want to join us live every week, I have it's scheduled on at Shadow DTV on YouTube. So you'll be able to see in your time zone when we go live. The chat is popping off every week. You know, you guys pretty much tell us all the things that we get wrong. And, you know, you make sure that we're, having good discussions. We love seeing all the things that you guys say. And, of course, join the Discord if you want to discuss the episode. That's the link's on the video, but I'll have all the links in the comments or the description of the podcast as well. Guys, thanks so much, Rog. Thank you. Have a great day. We will catch you in a future episode. Love watching your videos. And thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Justin, as always, you know, any last words?
Thanks, Rog. Thanks for coming. Good to have you in the future again.
Sure.
You enjoy your day and I'm going to enjoy my sleep.
That's right. We are going to nod off now. Did you guys say that? Nod off?
Not off.
There we go. All right.
Just to be clear, everybody, in case your audience are not familiar, I'm in Ireland, by the way. If anyone turns around and says, like, oh, I want somebody, I like guys from the UK in there, or people are like from America, I'm like, absolutely no. Can I curse on this show? No effing way. All right.
It's funny you say that because I get told that I sound like Korg from Thor very often, who is actually voiced by a New Zealander, or as we call them, Kiwis, which is not.
Yeah.
I get it more often than I should. Like, I reckon at least twice a week someone says that. Yeah. And I'm like, it's just funny because it's like when you're on the other side of the world, you don't hear our accents that often. So I can see the mistake for sure.
Yep.
But it makes me laugh every time because I know, like, we have a lot of New Zealanders that live in Australia. And I'm like, our accents are so different. So it always makes me laugh.
Can I tell a little anecdotal story real quick?
For sure.
I worked at a horse stables as a teenager during college and stuff to like mucking out stables and clearing the yards.
Yep.
But there was a lot of Aussies there.
Yep.
And one Aussie over lunch, completely unironically, was like, the difference between Australian and New Zealand accents is the New Zealand accent is a lot more nasal. And he said this completely with a straight face. And I was like, can you not hear yourself? That's my really funny, like, Australian New Zealand accent story that I had this guy with a complete straight face. A lot more nasal.
Yes. Aussie's boy.
That's fantastic. Yeah, that's great. Rog, again, thank you so much. We will, guys, for everyone listening, we will see you guys next week for another episode of Infinite Snap. Have fun with Black Panther, guys. Tell us your thoughts, and we'll see you next time. See you guys.
See you guys. We'll